folks, and welcome to In the Hole, the show that's golf, golf, and nothing but golf, unless we feel like talking about something else. I'm your host, Mr. Golf, Fred Geffen.
And I'm your other host, Krista Rizzo, the relationship expert.
And we'd like to welcome you to this episode.
Let's do some golf.
Okay.
I try.
Okay. What was the sign?
I said, I try.
No, you don't do. There is no try. There is do or do not. And you do. You're okay. Here. You're queer. We'll get used to it. Hello, folks.
Hi, everybody.
We're sorry for, diving you in the middle of our little ongoing discussion there.
Yes.
Well, we were just discussing health situations at the current moment, how we were feeling about things.
We had this terrible thunderstorm, and all of a sudden, like, the dust must have unsettled things. I have a headache.
The ducks must have unsettled things, huh?
The dust must have unsettled things in my sinuses.
Gotcha. Got it. You have a duct issue. You need to call the duct cleaner. No, you need to take something, if nothing else. Pop an Advil, for crying out loud.
No, I'll be all right.
Okay, fine. Your call, your decision to make. Personally, I even feel it starting to come on. But my sinuses are a whole different story. A very, very, very long story that we're not going to get into this evening. But we all want Krista to feel better, don't we? Yay! Where are we? Yeah, speaking about bitching about the weather. Well, I won't even talk physical because physically I'm shot. Completely fell apart. Played golf on when? What's today? Tuesday? I played golf yesterday.
Oh,
is that
okay.
Possible? Yes, we of course got monsooned out. Why? Because here comes July 4th weekend. Oh, fabulous. Thursday night, rain. Wednesday night, rain. We had Beth Page this Wednesday. Finally, 2 years. 2 years to get out, and dance a little under the stars. And I think I squeaked in about almost an hour. About maybe an hour before it started to rain. And then it didn't stop raining until Sunday at some point. Happy July 4th weekend. Sunday was no picnic. It's still, I was in the city before, actually. Manhattan's hot as hell. Woo! It was hot, Daddy.
Yeah, yep.
I came out of I had walked from Penn Station down, and I don't know, I guess I was warm to begin with. I didn't really notice it too much, but I grabbed a lunch with a friend and came out. I haven't done that in, I can't even begin to think.
Right.
Walked out the door of the restaurant, though, after eating. I guess I was inside and acclimated. Whoa! Whap upside the face. Welcome to hot.
Yeah.
It was quite. But you know what? Out here, it's every freaking day. It's whipping in off the ocean. It's cool. It gets hot when the sun comes out. The sun is not out. When I played yesterday, it was like, I don't know, maybe 70. It was almost chilly on the beach.
Oh.
But I was at Lido. That was the only time I was able to get. And I thought it was like a surprise pop-up time and the place would be a zoo. How about the place was a complete snore fest?
Oh,
one of the boys had wanted to play. I said, now you tell me you're willing to play on a non-Saturday? I said, I got this one time. I never would have even thought July 4th weekend. They're all booked up. Although I guess at times we could have conceivably thought to call ahead and seen if there was a cancellation or whatever. But I didn't, and he didn't suggest it. He could have picked up a phone also. Anyhow, I get there and the place is like dead, completely dead. But this time I was going to be smart, okay? Because I'd been wearing the fakakta thing on the forearm. I've been good about it, and
right.
it's still there. It still bothers me, But whatever, you know, it's quieting down. It's been, I played a week ago Saturday. So Saturday to Saturday is already 8 days. So I hadn't basically touched the golf club in 10 days, which is, you know, the really the way in the middle of the season to get better is to play, you know, no golf.
Right.
That's, you know, how do you improve? Don't play. Ah, there it is. Why didn't I think of that? And I am, I'm dying today. But the bitch was, it just, it never fails. I had a plan for yesterday.
What was your plan?
I had a plan. I was going to ease into it. You know, I am, have always pretty much been out of the car, hit a few putts, stretch a little bit, go to the tee, and off you go.
Right.
That hasn't been working so well for me lately, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
I find my opening tee shots after having not played for 7, 8, 10 days tend to be short and abrupt, while I could go ahead and take a really big swing at it on the left side of my brain. The right side of my brain won't let it happen. So
okay.
I have to tee it up a little higher next time also. I'm coming out. It's just, it's short and choppy. And it's about what I'd expect when I don't want to put a push off on my right side. And I'm worried about hitting the ball and coming through with my left because of the friggin' elbow.
Right.
So other than that, I walk up to the first tee. I'm loosey-goosey. I'm ready to go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I got a sweat going on. You know, I've hit a bucket. It's time to rock and roll. No, I don't. I don't have that. But I stopped and I said, you know what? Let's try this time. Be smart about it. Whoa, you know, that's big for me. Being smart about anything. I said, but let's try and be smart. Let's get there at least a half an hour early, okay? And go over to where the range is.
Okay.
And just take a wedge. The way the range is laid out at Lido, there's balls all over the place. You probably don't even have to buy a bucket. You know, there's like maybe one or two guys there on the range ever. You can kind of just walk out, hit yourself some balls, you know, whap them back about 10 feet and then go ahead and, you know, and hit them, which is perfect. I don't need a bucket of, you know, balls for $5 or whatever the hell it is. I just need, you know, if you just to get the arm nicely, slowly into it. You know what I mean? Just gently, a little bit through, a few shots, let a little blood get flowing, hit a few more, you know, and, you know, get to the point where I can take a kind of full swing. You know, nothing crazy.
Sure.
Just so, okay. So I get there and the range is, you know, nobody on it, and it's all the beautiful morning. It's all working out perfectly, except I notice there's nobody there. So I notice there's like nobody on the tee and nobody in the getting ready area, and nobody by the starter. And I'm like, okay, I go in and pay my due. I come out, hand the thing to the starter, and he goes, "There's three guys on the tee right there. You want to go out with them?"
Okay.
So yeah, I turned around. Yeah, okay.
So, I mean,
so I walk up. They'd already hit. So it wasn't like I had like, you know, a minute or two or three while the three of them were hitting. I could go ahead and, you know, stretch a little, maybe.
Right.
You know,
right.
Lay the calves out. You know, just do a little bend over, stretch them quads and the hammies. And
right.
You know, and the hammies and the calves. I mean, not the quads so much. I would still turn around real quick and do a couple of half squats for the quads also and do that. But the grip, there's no way to, you know, fuss around with that. That I have, you know, I have the little hand grip thing, which I can use, like, you know, one of those finger exercisers. I can't do any other exercises with the damn arm because it just seems to aggravate it. And the exercises I've done, like, for forever are the ones that they tell you to do if you're having, like, physical therapy on your tennis elbow. These are the, I've been doing them for a year. I didn't touch a golf club from October until April. Okay. And all the exercises did was continue to aggravate it.
Right.
Thanks very much for your support. Have a nice day. I also looked up what happens if you get a shot in your tennis elbow. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
I looked it up. I saw where they put the shot. They showed a picture of the elbow and a hand with a needle in it. It's just, no. That's when I started with the stupid, with the elbow brace. But the fear of God, I saw that needle. I was like, oh, shit. I took one in the wrist. At this point, what is it, like 2 years ago almost? Or a little more than? And that has subsided about 90, 95%. That doesn't bother me. I remember I freaked out last week. I felt the same thing in my right wrist. I said, it's just it's a quirky, weird-ass thing for a day, and it'll just kind of quietly vanish.
Mm-hmm.
Tooey, a gatrillion times. I don't want to give myself any kind of a canara, but it went away after like a day.
Well, there you go.
It must have just been a weird tweak, and now I'm sure it's going to like start bothering me again just because I even thought about it. Anyway, what the hell was the point in all of this? Where was I? Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, you were playing golf with you were getting up on the tee or something, the guys.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Don't touch the club for 10 days and run up and tee off. Just, you know, no stretch. No. Take the club out of the bag, grab a ball, grab a tee, put it in, grab the club, you know, close your eyes, do a real quick Hail Mary, and then totally butcher the first shot. I think I topped it into who knows, nothing. Short, tight. I couldn't hold. I got up there and I said, okay, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. And then I just squeezed the club, which I haven't done. Again, I haven't done that in 10 days. I just squeezed it and it just shot right up the forearm, right through the elbow.
Wonderful.
And needless to say, I didn't play particularly well the rest of the day. It was kind of sort of uncomfortable. So note to self, what's the moral of the story? The moral here is, dear listeners, is if it's clear to all that you need to do something one way and doing something the other way will be detrimental to your situation.
Oh my God. Yes.
Just
sure.
Yeah, don't do it. look at the starter and go, wow, I'd really like to go out right now, but I think it would be wise for me to take a little quality me warm-up time. But did I do that? No. Clearly, and of course not. I just grabbed that sucker. I didn't take the club back, just squeezing it, and it went right up the whole thing. I was like, oh, mother. Yeah, so I'm needless to say, not particularly happy about that situation. I've been putting lights out all of a sudden. Even yesterday, what would have been a birdie putt, I say would have been a birdie putt. The exception was my initial tee shot, I just slap pushed straight right. I don't know whether I caught it off the damn toe. What I did, it's a par four. You go over a bit of water, which is irrelevant. It's, you know, 30 yards in front of you. But there's a big thing of water to the right of the fairway if you miss that. There it is. There's a big thing of water. And I don't slice. If anything I hit goes to the right, it's going to be a push. Why did I push? Because I slid. Why do I slide? Because my back doesn't want me to just clear my left hip, which we've been through 8 billion times. That was the other thing I had trouble between the damn wrist on the, I mean, the damn elbow every time I grabbed it. My back just, it didn't want to clear. It's the last thing I have to remember. If I clear that left hip, my right shoulder will tend to more. I still concentrate on the right shoulder, but not clearing the hip is what prevents the shoulder from coming under. Look at Ali Trevino. He almost drops down to the ground, but for an idea of what I'm talking about, he's, you know, the best swing to look at. Comes back, comes under, and I need to, like, I don't know what I need to do anymore. I need to try and, at this point, I don't know what. Although I am going to try keeping my elbow in. I'm going to try. The pulling with the left hand, I think, is not a happening thing for it. So I'm going to try. I don't know if it's going to affect anything, mean anything, help anything. Again, next week I should show up a little bit early, meet one of the boys. One of them always goes to the range at Beth. Oh, no, we're not going to be at Bethpage. Scrap that. Why are we not going to be at Bethpage? Because didn't get a time at Bethpage. The only thing we got was a lousy time, like 11 a.m. at Eisenhower on the red. That's not good. We got shut out. I even got shut out for my 9:10 or 9:20 or 9 o'clock, whatever it was, Eisenhower red. I put it in four, and I usually get. As a backup, I did not get it as a backup that time.
All right, well.
It did not happen, so now we have a lousy time. But then, wouldn't you know, just fart-assing around. On Sunday, I said, yeah, it's 7 o'clock. Maybe it'll be shitty on Saturday again. Why not get a backup time? Ha, 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 good luck on a Sunday. I sat there, and I just, boom, hit, click, hovered, whatever the hell I did, and I ended up strolling away with 9:30 on the red at Bethpage for Sunday. I won't,
all right.
No, it's not all right. I won't be playing there on Sunday at 9:30. Evidently, I am going to the Bronx Botanical Gardens for a show on Sunday.
Oh, how fun.
I don't know what it is. I don't know why they're having it.
Oh, it's like a big art installation is there right now.
Evidently something. And guess who's going to see it on Sunday?
You are.
That would be me.
Congratulations.
All the Mr. and Mrs. and Junior golfers, and we're all going to pile into the vehicle. Which reminds me.
Oh, yeah, you're probably going to see the Kusama. I wanted to see it. My friend went and saw it. She said, look, it's amazing.
Okay. I guess that's what I'm going to see then. All right. I'm sure it'll be fun. I'm annoyed. I went to the city. I parked. I came back. The car was almost destroyed. How about that one?
Oh, please.
No, I
can't. How come?
You don't understand what I came back to. Why I didn't take a picture of it. I'm a moron. The entire half of the hood was covered in white droppings. I don't know whether they came from invisible birds or it's just so corroded at the Limbrook Long Island Railroad Station, that the shit just falls from the sky. Not the sky, from the, you know, the concrete above, whatever it is. I can't believe
the rafters?
I was so out of my mind to try and get it off. Yeah, there we'll go. We'll go with the rafters. I was so out of my mind to get it back to the freaking house to try and get the shit off, because I already know from past experience there, which I obviously had forgotten about. Had I remembered it, I would have, you know, left the car differently. But I had not remembered why, because it's been years. But, I came out after, I don't know, what was I gone? 2-3 hours. And the entire one half, a big circle of it, just, so I got out of my crazy brain. I pulled into the driveway and I didn't even stop to take a picture, although at some point I said I should take a picture of this. I just immediately like ran for the hose and did my best, and it just, my best wasn't good enough. It actually, in that amount of time, whatever the hell that shit is, it ate through the ceramic. And it permanently, well, the guys, I'm sure, will be able to get it out, but he's going to have to go at it with his thingamabob and, you know, professionally attack the paint to get these damn spots out. This used to happen when we'd park in a driveway here. The water is so full of, it's hard. I forgot what it's so full of. That white shit, whatever it is. But anyway, if you would, the sprinklers, if you left your car in the driveway and the sprinklers got on the side of your car, you'd have white spots on the entire side of your car when it dried, and you couldn't get them off. You had to take it to a detailer who had trouble up the wazoo getting, is it iron in the water? I forgot what the hell it is. Whatever it is, you get it on your paint.
Oh, maybe it's sulfur.
No, I don't think that's, I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, it's all about the hard water and whatever is in the hard water. That it just, it eats immediately through everything. So I did the best I could. I actually even compounded it a little bit with a little polishing compound just to, you know, I mean, it's fresh. It's like an hour, which for this stuff, is the equivalent of setting for, like, I don't know, 10,000 years. It's, oh, God, don't get, and it's happened before, but it was a lease car, and, you know, yeah, get it out as best you can, whatever.
Right,
I came
right.
out, the whole fucking hood was covered with this shit. I was like, oh, what am I going to do, call Limbrook? Hi, I need to have the car re-detailed, thanks to you. I'll send you a bill. What are you? How hard are they going to be sitting there laughing?
Right, right.
Hey, I paid my $5. I should get a parking spot where literally in 2.5 hours my car is going to be destroyed. What is that?
Yeah.
I just, you know, it just.
I know.
Tomorrow night's Wednesday night, Beth Page, again, without an hour of rain. Hopefully tomorrow night at least is a night. I'm hopeful. The forecast, I saw one that said showers, but the two weather channels I have, at the latest, I think, said no. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm shipping stuff. All the shit is on eBay. Remember I told you last week?
Oh, yeah.
3 out of the 4 items sold already.
Oh, good for you.
That leaves one item. One of the shafts, the uncut one, is long gone. I shipped it. The guy received it. Oh, my stars. He's my new best friend.
Of course he is.
No, you don't understand the feedback this guy left on eBay. I've been on eBay for years, and I've done hundreds of transactions, and this is the best person I've ever dealt with on eBay. He's going on and on. I was like, okay. I don't know. I originally tried to send him. I probably screwed up and put in the wrong post office thing that I was going to use to send him the shaft in the box.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't giving me the thing it gave me. I got to the post office. She looks at me. She goes, it says you're sending an envelope. And I'm sitting there with a 48-inch by 6x6 box.
Right.
She goes, I don't see this working. So I ended up going back, and I just couldn't get it to do anything. And it finally gave me a UPS for like $11. Which was,
oh, yeah.
It's fine. Yeah, where? Click, you know, buy now.
Right.
Now, I'm curious to see whether they give me the $7 back from the one that I never put through, the post office postage. I never ran that.
Mm.
I put in a second the UPS number, and that's what got actually shipped. I'm thinking at some point, if it doesn't get into the postal system, they refund me PayPal, but I may have to throw them a call. And said, by the way, this is not going to, you know, not used. So give me my money back. I don't know. Now, eBay supposedly sends money directly to your checking account. I have to check my checking account and see if, you know, I've got money there from them. which I guess would be a good thing to do. I saw some tutorial bullshit real quick that made me of the feeling that I wasn't going to be seeing the money all that quickly,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a PayPal, which was like right away. They evidently don't want you to use PayPal anymore. They want to put it right into your account.
Right.
No PayPal fees. Okay, I'm good with that, I guess.
Venmo. I'm a big fan of Venmo.
But I don't remember whether they said I was going to get the money right away. It was going to take a while. I must make a note, mental note. Yeah, like that'll work to check and see if I have anything there from those nice people.
From those nice people.
Yeah. So anyway, I called the guys. It turned out when the shipping labels were printed, both our phone numbers were on it. So I called. I left a message. Say, hi, I hope you don't mind. I'm having an issue with the USPS. I'm sending it UPS, which technically is better. You know, everybody uses the post office because UPS is, you know, again, better, but usually more money. Anyway, and then I sent in, a message, an email or whatever it was thing. That was it. I mean, why wouldn't I? Sending it out with a better service. I hope you don't mind. So anyway, he was quite effusive. And I said, well, I was happy to deal with you too. Other two things are being sold. One guy kept putting in bids. I thought he was a fake bidder. He had joined eBay like a week ago and had zero mm-hmm. feedback. I can't tell you how many times I've dealt over the years with, you know, people that throw out bids, they don't exist. They join eBay. They just run around and bid on a bunch of shit to mess things up.
Mm.
And then they never pay. So then you have to relist your item. Then your item is old news. I hate that, which is one of the reasons I don't mess with eBay anymore as far as selling stuff. I had no choice here because we had some equipment and eBay was the place to get the right price and get it gone quickly. And as we see, hopefully by 11 p.m. or so this evening, there will come a bid in for the shaft also. But whatchamacallit, yeah, boxed it up, sent it out, and this time I put in, hopefully, what's the correct USPS shipping thing? I don't know. We'll see. One's a full club. The full club has like four bids on it. People are going crazy. I told you, I took my old G400 head, and I'm using the G410 now. So I took the shaft from the G410, which I'm not using because I'm using my Graphite Design ADDI5R1 golf shaft in black.
Okay.
Oh, it's black. It's very cool. It is. I like it.
I'm sure it is.
It's a cool shaft. It is. It's a win. I just have to hit it better. It's not the shaft. It's the shafty, you know. That's one thing I've never, ever, 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 ever done. It would never even occur to me to do something like that, which is blame like one of my clubs for a bad shot or the ball. Blame the ball. You know, this ball's screwed up. No, you just don't know how to hit it. Anyway, Christ. I forgot.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember either. I get so low. I jump ahead. That's the problem. My brain jumps ahead. It's so annoying. Yeah. So somehow, somewhere, we were talking about playing this weekend, and then I'm going to the Botanic to see whatever it is you said I was going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That's just kind of sort of, we could do a story and actually get to the list, which would, you know, be better than me losing my train of thought halfway through everything.
Sure.
Something different. Okay. There's a story I heard. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready, lassie?
I'm ready.
You're ready. I love hearing you say that, even if it's just for a story. There was
just
a guy. There was a guy
Okay.
The guy was at the country club for his weekly round of golf. He started his round. It was, a par five, because he started the round with an eagle on the very first hole. And he gets to the second hole. He gets a birdie. It's like, wow. Gets to the third hole. Third hole's a par three. He scores his first ever hole in one. Talk about a round, huh? Wouldn't you know?
Talk about a round.
Wouldn't you know, the phone rings. The cell phone starts a ringing. He answers the phone. Turns out it was a doctor in the emergency room at the local hospital, notifying him that his wife had just been in a terrible accident and she was in critical condition in the ICU. The man told the doctor to inform his wife where he was and he'd be there as soon as possible. As he hung up, he realized he was cutting short what was probably the best round of golf he was ever going to have.
Of course.
So he figured, you know what? Why not just, throw in a couple of more holes before I head over to the hospital? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what could go wrong? Anyway, so, he ends up playing all 18. He finished the round. He shot like a 52. Some absurd, best in the history of the game. He was pretty happy. But all of a sudden, he remembers his wife. So now he's got massive guilt. It just, rushes over him, and he hauls ass, gets to the hospital. He finally gets to the hospital, rushes up to the doctor, who's standing, in the corridor. Impatiently is like the understatement. He's tapping his feet, and all of this good stuff. The doctor just glares at him, and he shouts, "You heartless bastard, you went ahead and finished your round, didn't you?" And the guy, the hangdog thing, kind of hung his head, and he fessed up. Yes, he did. The doctor continues. He goes, I hope you're proud of yourself, mister, because while you were out for the past X number of hours enjoying yourself at the club, your wife has been languishing in the ICU and fighting for her life.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the doctor paused. He goes, I guess it's just as well that you went ahead and finished your round, because more than likely it'll be the last one you'll ever play. Now the guy's got tears, streaming down his face. He's feeling so bad. He looks down and he goes, why? The doctor goes, because for the rest of your wife's life, she will require round-the-clock care. She won't be able to eat or move or speak. Furthermore, she won't be able to control any of her bodily functions. So you, sir, will be her 24/7 caregiver for the next 30 years. The guy's beside himself. He's on the ground. He's sobbing uncontrollably. The doctor looks down at him, and the guy looks up at the doctor, and the doctor's miserable grimace turns into a big grin. The guy's like, what? Doctor looks at him and says, relax yourself. I'm just screwing with you. She died 3 hours ago. What did you shoot?
Oh, my God. What did you shoot? That's terrible.
I know, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, that is. It gave me, I just chill out, dude.
You got a chuckle out of it.
I'm just screwing with you. Yeah, but I didn't hit the chuckle meter. I could have done that.
I could have.
I didn't, though. Instead, it was more like here.
Right. Right. More like that.
More like that. Crash and burn. Where are we? Oh, wow. Look where we are already. Yeah, I can't. I whatever the hell we were even talking about before, I decided to share the story. I just, you know, got so ahead of myself, I forgot where I was at for
Fantastic.
A change. I know. Manishtana, as we say so often. It is the 6th of July.
Happy holiday
to everybody. We'll see how long the weather holds. I'm not holding my breath on it. It's been monsooning this evening. I managed to get in and out of the city, cover most of the car with some kind of weird guana. But the skies then opened up, so at least I got back before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised I wasn't, you know, like two car lengths away from the driveway when the... But, you know, I dodged that one. The good news is since the guy that did the ceramic coating in the car screwed up the whole right side, it has to go back to him anyway.
Oh.
Now the good news is I say, hey, by the way, seeing as it's costing me, you know, two Ubers to get here because you didn't do the job right the first time, here's what you can do for me. You can fix the hood. Get that shit off it, you know. You got the car coated again. And also, maybe while we're at it, since when I take it to him, I will have had the three wheels repaired.
What three wheels?
I told you last week, I found a wheel repair guy.
Oh.
The wheels. One came with a little chip key on it. Another one has a little chip key on it. And another one, I thought it was just a bump. I didn't think it caught the curb, but it did, and it needs to be refinished. It's really not terrible or all that noticeable, but I know it's there. And I found a guy semi-locally one day. He'll take it off, repaint it, and pick it up the next day. You know, fix it. They do whatever the hell it is they do and paint it, and you get it back the next day. And they were very reasonably priced. Jimmy C's wheel something or other in Freeport, New York.
Gotcha.
The fishing capital of, I forgot what they call themselves there. I don't know, the immediate Northeast. You know, between Fire Island and the Rockaways. I don't know. I don't usually go to Freeport. It's a... I wonder what it would be like now. We didn't used to go only because parking was impossible. It was just a long strip of road, but next to the strip, the next street over is all residential.
Mm.
So there's just, you know, no place to put the damn car, which is just annoying. Not as annoying as getting off the Long Island Railroad and seeing half your car covered in acid, but annoying nonetheless.
Right.
What? Tours, right? That would be next on the hit parade.
Sure.
Okay. The Rocket Mortgage, Cameron Davis won. Congratulations. This week, the John Deere. The European Lucas Erbe, as might be how it's pronounced, as opposed to Lucas Herbert. I think he's French, so that would be Lucas Erbe, as opposed to the guy, the French guy, in the pitch for the for my little training aid. What's it? Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Is a guy that said perfection is achieved not when there is nothing left to add, but when there is nothing more to take away.
Gotcha.
I know, isn't that profound? But I love the guy's name, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Oh, I just love saying that. Anyhow, so he won the Irish Open, and they figured they'd move next door this week. They're having, get ready for it, the Scottish Open.
Okay.
Yeah, that works, right?
Sure.
The lovely ladies of the LPGA, the Volunteers of America, was last week. Jin Young Ko won last week. This week, the Marathon Classic. And old guys. Dix last week was Cameron Beckman. He was your winner this week. They're having the U.S. Senior Open. Wow, the U.S. Okay. Senior Open. Where are they playing that, you ask? In Omaha. Interesting.
Okay.
I wonder where. I didn't look any further at the time.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Let's see. What's in the news? I have stuff from last week we didn't even get to. Did I mention they never turned on the water at Bethpage? Like you can't wet your towel or whatever. Really, guys? You can't turn on the fountains? Of course, I guess. Boils.
That's crazy.
There's no ball washers. They don't, you know, because everybody would touch the top of the ball washer. So there's no ball washers, which I find interesting because I walk into a supermarket and they make me use a communal pen to sign for my transaction. You know, nobody thinks twice about that, but they won't turn the water on at Bethpage because we'll use our thumbs to push the button at the water fountain. Uh-huh. You know, forget the, you know, what do you call it? Forget using a ball washer. That's, you know, clearly not going to happen. That could be a super spreader event right there. But, yeah, there's no water. There is at Eisenhower. Uh-huh. At least the one by the first tee on the red course. Ow, ow, ow. I think I yanked the right side of my knee also yesterday. Did I mention I played poorly? It's a beautiful day out. But, the place is still goose shit central. Oh, and this time, like, from the first tee on. I hate doing that. I hate screwing up my first tee shot, especially in front of strangers. It looks like I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Which is really annoying. Ah!
Really annoying.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm going to have... It's funny, I never do it in front of the boys.
Okay.
I don't know why that is. I can't recall. Oh, yes, I can recall the last time I topped one. Last time, get ready for this one. The last time I topped one in front of the boys was when we played the black on the first tee. Remember I always say how, you know, the rest of the round is irrelevant, that there are going to be people sitting there watching, so it's important to hit the fairway,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the last time we played before that, remember, I actually did hit the fairway, and I said the rest of the round didn't matter, which was good because the rest of the round really sucked. Although the rest of my front nine wasn't terrible. I did not have a terrible front nine when we played the black a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, point being, I absolutely positively, of course, hadn't held the club in whatever it was, a week or what have you, and I just topped the crap out of it. I have to remember to do that. I always know my swing is going to be all kinds of screwed up. I should tee it up a little higher on my first. It goes in the right direction. It's just I topped the damn thing. Because I'm, you know, tight and I pull up and all that other nonsense. Just tee it a little higher. But I know if I do that, I'm going to go underneath the damn thing and bury it and carve up the top of the driver head even more, which will really piss me off even more. Although evidently somehow I managed to clunk it again, I noticed. When I played yesterday, I looked at it. I don't know what happened. It looked like it got hit on the top by like, a pebble or something. It's got these four little spots that I don't even know where they came from because I don't recall burying the club. But anyway, the top is now a mess and I don't care anymore.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go. We were wondering how long it was going to take me to get over it. And now we have the answer.
Yes, we do.
Now we have the answer about however long it was the time from last time I played till this time. Yeah, but anyway, the good news there is I hit a fabulous second shot out of the rough past the bend. For those of you that don't know, the first hole on the black is a dogleg to the right. somehow out of the rough, and it was rough, nasty ass U.S. Open. Well, that's what happens when you play a U.S. Open course. On a U.S. Open weekend, you get U.S. Open rough. Somehow, I think I pulled a 7-iron, hit it to past the bend, which was quite amazing. Put my third shot on the green and get ready for it. Hold on. Hold on, get ready for it. Made the putt for a par. So I topped my tee shot on the first hole at black and still made par. But nobody back on the tee sitting there watching me going, oh, that's embarrassing, is going to know that, though. You know, nobody was paying attention to what's going on the green. But I don't know. I guess it was some measure of redemption. If they watched my second shot, they would have seen, oh, okay, that was a good shot. I got lucky. When I played yesterday, my first shot was a horror show. I just, you know, dribbled it out there, whatever. And my second shot was just as bad. So that's how I started. I was dead in the water the first two holes. First hole I doubled. It's a par five, for Christ's sakes. It's a converted par four. For 100 million years, it was a par four. They didn't change it or anything. They just turned it into a par five. So it's a, you know, a dumbass easy par five. I doubled that. I get up on the tee in two. And, you know, oh, I'm real loose now. Just, you know, half-assed, non-existent backswing. And just yank the shit out of it into what happens to be also a fairly decent sized puddle of water on the left side, on the left side of the second fairway. Yanked it right into that. Didn't even bother to go over there and look. And then, you know, then just said, ah, screw me. And, you know, grabbed the club and hit a drive. But at that point, it was just, it was going to smart all day long. And it did.
Great.
Hence the, I better warm up in the future.
Right.
A little bit and see what happens. But I'm not going to be playing this week. I wish I could. But, well, the other bitch of it all was when I got done playing the two times in a row, when I played, a week ago, Wednesday or whatever, and then with the boys on Saturday, by the back nine on Saturday, I could barely walk. My damn foot was killing me so much. So, you know, I'm not. This is season, man. This is it. This is it. It's, you know, nicely into the first week in July. Should have a time this week and, you know, play on a weekend and then go out on a nice hot day and be able to walk the damn 18. And I don't know, people out there, if you're on the fence about deciding whether to play golf or not, don't play golf. Don't. Seriously, just don't. It's going to kill you. It really is. It may take a while. It may take a long while, but eventually it's going to kill you.
I mean,
I really don't mean that. Go play. It's okay if you can do it. It's nice to be able to say you can do it because most people can't do it. That's why they put it down, because they can't do it. Did I mention I didn't play well the other day? Yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a bummer because I wasn't all that terrible the week before. I mean, I made some some mental errors on the back nine a week ago, but I did my first 40, and I don't know how long. A couple of birdies. I did make a couple of putts yesterday, though. What would have been that's what I was talking about. Funny the way what goes around. On the third hole, big water on the right. I would have birdied the hole because I only took three shots, but the three shots were after I put the first initial one into the water on the right. My point being, what do? I push the ball. I don't tend to slice. If my ball goes right, you know I slid. Oh, there we go. Well, we're back to the whole discussion again. If my ball goes to the right, it's because I slid ahead of it. My body got ahead of the club. I hit it with an open club face, and boom, it went, you know, semi-straight out in the direction of the club face, which was open at the time. And then, of course, I'll overcorrect and roll the damn thing over and slap hook it on the next one. I didn't in this particular instant. This particular instant, I just hit the damn ball in the middle of the fairway, put the ball in the front of the green, and made the putt, which was a five. Right? Wait. Huh. Wait, I was three. I don't know. I could have dropped. We always confuse this when we play. I was just pissed, so I was going to tee off again. I could have just gone over the water. There's a little bridge. I'm talking about the water in front of the green, not the big water on the right that I headed into. I could have gone over there, over to the reeds where my ball like crossed into that area. And put, you know, hit three from there. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm aggravated. I'm going to, you know, hit another tee shot. So that was three, four. Yeah, I was in for a five. All right. What could have been a birdie instead was a five. So now that's how I started out. Double, double. I screwed up on the second hole. I, you know, slap hooked it into the water. So I'm 1-2 third hole. I'm five over already. So, you know, it's not going to be a great nine at that point.
Right.
It's just not, you know, the whole day. It was, again, it was lovely. Day. It was nice to be out. But it was uncomfortable. The feet were okay. I managed to, it's dead flat, you know. The only time you go up in the air is on the occasional tee and the greens are raised. But other than that, it's just a flat walk. It's the pushing off, though. I told you I tried another pair of shoes.
Mm.
They were mesh, kind of like my walking sneakers. Okay. No. They were just pushing in. They conceivably could have given in time, but especially with my right foot, I don't have time. If it starts to hurt, I'm done. Sorry, you won't work. But I'll break in real soon. No, not soon enough. I need to like slide my damn foot in, and it needs to go. Ah, yeah. Any kind of my feet used to be so screwed up. And talk about being another rocket scientist. When I had these stinking aromas on both feet, originally when I was a kid, I used to ski. You want to talk about the worst possible thing you can possibly do? When you've got these stupid things in between your toes, is ski. Because all you're doing is just pressure, side to side to side. My feet used to, it's not like a dull throbbing. It's a sharp, stabbing pain. My feet used to hurt so freaking much. I used to have to take my feet out of my ski boots on the chairlift going up the mountain. How about them apples? All the nonsense that I've had to deal with over the freaking years. I had to open my ski boots and take my feet out on the damn chairlift. I couldn't any type of squeezing from the side. Just stabbing. It wasn't weird. It was something called a Morton's neuroma. It's a nerve.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nerve bundle. What happens is the passage is narrow. So what happens? It's your typical bodily catch 22. Your nerve gets irritated. When it gets irritated, it forms a little case around itself for protection. But the case then makes the fact that you don't have enough space in there to begin with. Now you've got even less space, so it aggravates the nerve more. The nerve then produces more of this nonsense to coat itself with. You end up with this, like, bundle in there of nerve fibers. It's bizarre. You're right. It is weird.
It's weird.
It's freaking-ass weird. Why would I expect to have anything that wasn't?
Right.
But, so they're back. I had them both exercised many, many years ago. One place, East Orange Orthopedic Hospital.
Okay.
That was the, I think, the left foot. And the right foot I had done in Manhattan by a nice lady doctor. I remember her saying afterwards it was the biggest neuroma she'd ever seen.
Oh,
I'm what would you expect? I would present you with a subpar neuroma. Anyway, so the point being, I played like shit. I couldn't get my hip out of the way, meaning clear the left hip, let the right side come under. Watch Lee Trevino if you don't know what I mean by watching the right side come under. But he cheats a little bit because he actually starts in a very open position. So his hip is halfway out of the way to begin with. As he'll tell you, he pushes the ball down the fairway. I don't do that. I tend to try and draw my natural shot. My natural shot is a slice. That's my natural slice. What do I do now? Now I will tend to draw the ball because I have corrected what my initial swing as a kid and growing up and everything else was wide open. I would have never thought to close my stance to come outside in to hit the ball to make it go from right to left. That wasn't it. We'd open up, step into it, and hit. So that's funny when I hear people say, my natural shot is a draw. I don't know about you, but I never met anybody that naturally set up like that and would make the ball go from right to left. Everybody starts open. Everybody slices. And eventually, you'll learn to make it go the other way. And that's what they say, the mark of a good player is always fighting a hook. That's what they say. You know who says that? All the people that are fighting hooks.
Right.
Oh, no, a good player fights a hook. Okay. Fine. Fair enough. I'm good with that. But I absolutely did not naturally hit a draw. Now, that's what my shots do. But I set up to do that, and I swing to do it. Have an idea of what it takes to do that. So I guess over X number of years, I can't say that's my natural swing. I can say I've developed it.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I didn't even get... our boy Bryson. Bryson was pissy. Bryson broke up with his caddy. Bryson was sad and unhappy. But it's funny. Rocket Mortgage was the sponsor for the week. He came off the golf course like 2 days, both Thursday and Friday, and wouldn't talk to the press.
Oh.
This was when this whole, breakup. His caddy evidently broke up with him Wednesday night before the tournament.
Oh, well.
It was mutual. I don't know if that's really what it was.
Right.
Happening on a Wednesday night when the tournament, when your sponsor's tournament is happening. I thought that was a little, what's the word? I'm not going to say anything. I was surprised. Here we go. I was surprised seeing as didn't he win it last year?
I don't remember.
Well, regardless, this is his sponsor's event. Don't you think he'd maybe go out of his way with the, I'm guessing, millions of dollars they are bestowing upon him for hitting a pebble with a stick? Wouldn't you think?
Potentially.
Wouldn't you think he'd maybe? Maybe, okay, the show must go on. I'm brokenhearted. My caddy and I have parted, but you go on. There's no people like golf people. They smile when they are low. No, huh?
No.
I found it very, it's not really, I'm being polite. I found it very surprising that he refused to talk to the press or, what have you. I don't know if he did after he missed the cut. He might have left town for all I know, although I'm guessing he probably, if he had won it a year ago, would have to stick around and, maybe put a jacket on somebody or something.
I don't know.
Either a weird-looking plaid jacket or one of them helmet things. That metal conquistador helmet that some lucky guy gets. Not for nothing, but for that first place check, they could put a conquistador on my head.
God.
And that would not even bother me a little bit. Anyway, yeah, I just found it surprising. You know, it's your sponsor's event, and you're not, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. This week they're playing the John Deere. Where are we? Oh, my God. I haven't even gotten to my list, and we're, like, done.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Oh, I was having so much fun, and I managed to tie it all back together. I can't believe I managed to tie it all back together again.
Me either.
That's pretty scary. Lose it is one thing, and then be able to get it back. Okay. All right. So fine. Did I finish what? Yeah, I finished where everybody is and where they're going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Why don't we close with a fun fact? How about that?
Okay. Okay. Yes.
It was Bryson and Tim Tucker had split. Oh, and also the thing with Phil real quick. Phil was not happy. Phil has never played in Detroit before. And Phil was, you know, doing the place a favor, which I'm thinking if he shows up at a tournament, it definitely helps with ticket sales, and he won't be showing up many more. At some point, he may go to the old guy tour. Who knows? Him being, you know, as old as he is. Anyway, a Detroit paper evidently jumped up and bit him in the ass.
Oh, no.
I don't know whether there was a new revelation or some information was released, but something may have been released recently about him getting taken by a semi-known criminal for like $500,000 X number of years ago, where he was spoken to by the authorities. He was never charged with anything at all, but Phil definitely has I hate it when my big words aren't there. Anyway, not predilection. I don't even know if that's a real word. Anyway, he seems to occasionally hang out with people of questionable character. How's that?
I see.
How's that? And evidently he got took by somebody. He had put together a little group of individual, let's call them investors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. These guys put a bet down. And the guy evidently took the money and I guess ran.
I see.
Anyway, for some reason, a paper in Detroit chose to bring all that up again this week.
Oh, well, that wasn't very nice, was it?
Well, if Phil had been quoting the Queen, it would have been something like, "Oh, we are not amused." Phil was not happy. He goes, "I don't know how fast I'm coming back to Detroit again."
Right.
And then he evidently toned that down because, like, really, Phil, you need to, like, something that would have been like a nothing, it would have been done, it would have been the end of it. Yeah, they put out the story, you know, ignore it next week, it's yesterday's news, unless you choose to make an issue out of it. If you choose to make an issue out of it, then it's going to turn into a whole blown out thing.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes discretion should be the better part of valor, but that wasn't the way it went down. Phil had evidently got up and said, "Really?"
Well, they're all a bunch of babies anyway.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, anyway. Okay, fun fact. And we're wrapping.
Oh, my God, that wasn't even our fun fact. Okay.
No, that wasn't a fun fact. That was just something that I saw and figured I'd mention before. Before. Here's the fun fact. Are you in your jammies, sweetheart?
No.
You're not even in your jammies at this point?
No.
Oh, I'm holding.
Say your fun fact.
I'm sorry, my love. I'm keeping you from jammies. Oh, bad, bad, Mr. Golf. Okay, here we go. King James II, in I believe, I don't know, the 1500s, banned golf. Banned golf in Scotland. Do you know why?
I don't know why.
Everybody was playing golf, and it was interfering with archery practice.
Huh.
Exactly. Huh. Evidently, back in the day, it was more important that you had your archers at the ready, should they be needed. And if you think about the time frame we're talking about here, you could conceivably need your archers at the ready at any moment. So there was a time where the game was banned. I don't remember off the top of my head how long it was banned for. I don't think the ban lasted long, but at one point, King James II banned golf in Scotland because it was interfering with archery practice.
There you go.
And there you go. So, on that fun fact, what time is it, boys and girls?
Time for bed.
It's time for Krista. Time for Krista to change the outfit and head for Sloofy Land, where she's going to dream of. I don't know. What do you dream about?
I don't know. I don't remember my dreams.
You don't remember any of your dreams, like ever?
Very, very rarely.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, we'll have to explore that one day.
No, okay.
See, I can predict the future. I knew you were going to say that before I even half said.
Right.
We're going to, you know, explore that. I know the answers already. I already knew it. I can predict the future. So on that note, bring it home.
Everybody, please follow us on all the channels on social media at In the Hole Podcast. Send us an email at fore@intheholepodcast.com.
Are you doing this by memory? You are.
I am.
You are. Okay, here. I'll wait. I'll set you up. Instagram.
I know what it is, but how many people actually follow us on these things when I say this every week? Zero.
No, that's not true.
You can just go on all the things and look for In the Hole Podcast and find us.
We're cutting to the chase at this point, huh?
We have listens.
I've gotten stuff from various outlets. We have listens. Don't listen to her, peeps. You're out there. We know you're at. Well, we know that we get listens on Spotify. Right. I got another one. I forgot which one it was. We're on Amazon now. There's two or three others that if we weren't on already, we're on now. So no, don't listen to her, dear listeners.
All right. Well, I'm going to go to bed. Chris, our friend Chris is going to make us sound better because he always does. And I hope you guys all have a great week. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Or not.
You just had to, didn't you? We love you. That's it. I can't top that. So we're just going to call it an evening and let Krista call it a night. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. That's it then. Next week, we'll be here and we're hoping you will be too. Until then, this is us saying peace out.